Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Just didn't play good enough football. That's point blank. We need to watch the film and see what happened, but not stealing football.
Yeah, I don't think we handled adversity. That second half, it just kind of split open. If you get hit hard enough, you got to have answers for it. Part of being a professional is fixing your mistakes fast and answering those problems. I think this is a lesson we all can learn from, but hopefully it hits home fast.
Cam Hayward also saying after the game that he felt like the defense lacked fight, which is really disturbing to hear. And this is just the same thing over and over again. I mean, we're hearing the same stuff. Excuse me, Bob. It feels like year after year in some of these big moments. And time's starting to run out on Cam Hayward, maybe on T.J. Watt. You know, certainly on Darius Slay. I know Jalen Ramsey's on the other side of 30. I heard Rex Ryan say they look old, slow, and done, which is what they said a long time ago when the Steelers' defense started to look that way, which I guess ironically maybe, if that's the right use of the word ironic, Aaron Rodgers, that 2010 Super Bowl really was the beginning of the end of that great Steeler defense, right? Because after that, Tebow happened, and then guys started to slowly but surely end their careers, right? That was the end for those guys. Maybe the end is near for Cam's, for some of these guys, and it's just nothing's changing. That's the disturbing part, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You had these guys here for a reason. The urgency in terms of their time in the NFL was a very high level. They had to. That's why they did this. They wanted to try to cash in on a year where this can be argued for a debate also, instead of just not doing it, not bringing in and making a trade for Ramsey or Smith or bringing in Slay or Rodgers, they could have just kept everything the way it is and maybe moved more to the bottom of the heap in terms of wins and get a better draft pick. But again, they brought in those guys for one season. Mostly this season to try to win, get an opportunity, banking on the fact that Aaron Rodgers and his ability as an IQ guy, someone who's seen everything, if they got into that scenario, they could win with somebody like that. And it started off like you'd say, okay, there are some performances on offense. You thought that's fine. That's what they're going to have to do. But you also expected the defense, which was supposed to be, again, historically great, has been historically bad in so many ways. You can't be last in the league in pass defense and expect to compete in this game because there's too many good quarterbacks and too many good offensive schemes and coaches who can make you pay for that. And that's what's happened.
Well, that leads us right into your favorite segment, Bob. Decisions.
Double
from
D.
The game last night, and also decisions that you watch the game are reminded of from watching it. And I'll start with this one for you too, Limits, on this one. Was it a good decision to sign TJ Watt to a 3-year, $123 million extension, averaging $41 million a year? I said it at the time, and I'll say it today again, and it's just really one word. No. What do you say, Bob?
I thought it was risky, but I thought they would do it because they want to have that guy here, but assuming he would have the same kind of numbers on average that he would normally do. But if you look back at the past 18 games or so, and that dates back to last year, the beginning of last year, the numbers haven't been there in his favor. But a prudent way to go would have been to franchise him and see what happens after that if you're going to do it. You could have done that. They chose not to do that, but I expected the numbers to be still good, and I did this year specifically. Next year and the year after, I would have expected some fade in those production. I didn't expect it now. I think he needs to be much better than he's been.
Yeah, so, I think $41 million for an edge rusher is ridiculous. I do.
But all the guys in the game who play that position get that kind of money. That's just the way it is. But his age, you could have argued that was fine 4 years ago.
Well, that's fine that other guys get it. I mean, what are they? Myles Garrett had 5 sacks. It was the ultimate Myles Garrett performance yesterday. 5 sacks and a blowout loss. They won. Look at the numbers of edge rushers.
19 and 5 sacks.
In terms of winning big games, bang for the buck with these guys. I don't think that's where you win in the NFL. Maybe with a pass rush, but it's the type that Tampa Bay unleashed on Mahomes, or the Eagles unleashed on Mahomes, or the Giants way back when unleashed on Tom Brady. It's like the kind of pass rush that usually wins Super Bowls is multiple guys from everywhere along your defensive front, like interior too, like having a team pass rush. It's not necessarily star edge rushers,
No, you have to get it from all angles.
Now,
absolutely.
Micah Parsons had a pretty good game last night in the second half. He was the closer.
But he's also 26, and he got a $46
million. And he's also way more than just an edge rusher.
Right, they move him around. He comes at you from all angles. And so that was a move Green Bay made, and it was a smart move, even though they knew they had to pay that kind of money. But that's where the market had gone. So
I think it's different. I think it's different when you're one player away. Like if the Bills had signed T.J. Watt to that kind of deal, or give me another team, even the Bengals when they had Hendrickson and a healthy Burrow, the Steelers were not one player away. There are many. It was a bad contract, I think. He could still prove that wrong, but it doesn't look like he's ramping it up limits. Was that a good decision?
Right now, no. I mean, partly just because of the $41 million. Like, I was okay with them keeping Watt around for the next couple of years, but just not at that number. I wanted it to be more around 33, 35, because you're paying for what he's going to be, not what he was. And right now, he's just been so unproductive, him and Highsmith combined, that, yeah, right now it's looking like a bad deal.
They would have gotten it for a much cheaper price had they done this a year ago.
Yes, they would have.
And they knew that it was coming up eventually. So to beat
Highsmith looks like a horrible deal. I don't know where he is. He's almost never noticeable. No. We don't talk about that a lot. Where the hell is Alex Highsmith?
Well, and I think the number that you brought up, I think it was last week, that the year he had 14.5 sacks earned the new contract, he's had 14.5 sacks in all of his games since
the day he signed it.
It's insane. Since the 2022 season,
it's
14.5. Since 23, 24, 25, same number, 14.5.
Right. And their run defense has given up a lot, too, on average here for some of these good teams who have good running games. If you're not sacking, you got to make tackles. Tackles for losses are still very big plays. We haven't seen many of those as well, so.
All right. Well, other decisions specifically to the game. Let's just go one by one with some of the ones that helped shape the game. Should Kraft have been called for offensive pass interference on Deshaun Elliott on that huge play, the balloon ball?
I would say no. I'm a big believer that it has to be extremely egregious to call that, because you can throw flags every time there's contact.
I would agree on that one. I don't think that was flag worthy. I think he sort of pushed Elliott's arms away from him, but Elliott had his arms on him. So it was just sort of the tug of war that happens in the NFL. There was a brutal offensive pass interference call in the Giants-Eagles game where the Giants scored a touchdown. I forget who it was, but he was called for offensive pass interference, and I thought Daboll was going to commit an act of violence.
Yeah, I saw that play. You're right.
What a joke that was. And I would hate to see that. It didn't rise to the point where it should have been called. Limits?
I could see it either way. I would have rather them called it, just because, at least, hindsight 2020 with the replay, it looks like there was more of a distinct push-off. But in the moment, I did not think that it was pass interference until we got to see it a second time.
All right, a huge play in the game. Steelers' first drive of the second half. They finished the first half in style with a great drive. Then McManus misses a field goal, so they're in good shape. They've got the second half kickoff. And then the Packers were clearly offsides on the play, Bob. Clearly,
yeah,
100% offside. So let me ask you this question.
That wouldn't have made it a first down, but it would have made it very manageable. Third and a yard.
Plus, Rodgers, seemingly thinking he had a free play, went down the field to
exactly.
Roman Wilson, who, by the way, should have caught that ball. He had a good game, but he should have caught the ball. Here's my question. With all the immediate reviews of play, what do you call it when they go right upstairs? What's
replay
that?
Assist.
Replay assist.
Why can't that go to a play that wasn't flagged? We're still not there with replay. If we can't look at that play, if replay assist can't look at that and say that was offside, but they immediately went to Terry McCauley, the officiating expert, on the broadcast, and Tirico says, could they change a play where a flag wasn't thrown? And McCauley's like, no way, that's never happened. Well, why not? So you're telling me still, if a receiver were to get tackled on a play in the Super Bowl and no flag was thrown, we're back to the Saints-Rams NFC Championship
right.
game. Replay assist can't say that's a penalty? It can only be to reverse a flag that was thrown. Do I have that right?
Yeah, and that's why they need to change all of that. If you're going to have it, just have it. And it could be on any play at any given time. I also think, to even that out, Broderick Jones had a clear false start on a play
he
where
did.
They ignored. They didn't call that either.
He did.
So that could have been in the same boat.
Why is that not reviewable?
It should
by
be,
replay
especially
assist.
If they're big plays.
That makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. Considering how much we've been consumed by replay, everything is reviewable. What's a catch? What's not?
The just when I thought it was getting better limits, because I think replay assist, it's been very expedient.
Yes.
It's been working quickly to correct, like the Roman Wilson touchdown. That was the right call, came right down from upstairs, and it worked. And I thought last week's game was officiated expertly by the guys on the field, and more to the point, replay assist. But if you're not allowing a play like that during a game to be immediately reversed, then what are we doing here? We still don't have it right with replay.
And to think that this is the crew that was picked for primetime, like this was one of the worst officiated games we've seen in a while. Like, it was pretty bad.
I think you can say that about every. I saw a play in the Eagles game too where it was a clear fumble on a tush push. They blew the whistle for no reason.
So bad about it? They missed an obvious offsides. What were some other egregious calls
I thought that was poor. I thought the call on Broderick Jones that non-call was not a good one.
I mean, guys, to be fair, tackles, and I know he was clearly offside on that play and he was pulling, but tackles jump early every game, week to week. But what else? That's two misses.
Yeah, I want to go back and look at my notes.
I didn't think it was the worst officiating game I've seen in a long time.
I did not, and I never want to think about officials unless it's egregiously bad. I still think if you're bringing that up, then you're not telling the real story, which is the Steeler defense had no answers.
That's
the real story.
The Nick Herbig penalty on special teams when Ben Skoranek got dragged down by two guys?
Well, DK Metcalf had one too.
He got hit by two guys and buried. They didn't do anything illegal.
You don't weigh out well after the play?
Was it after the play?
Yeah,
I just saw the replay.
During the play, and that's what those guys do on those special teams plays. They
retaliate limits. The second guy always gets caught, and that was him and Metcalf with the stupid play he made.
Well, I don't deny the Metcalf one. That was dumb. That was worthy of a penalty.
You don't think Herbig's was dumb?
I think the Herbig's one should have been offsetting. I should think it should have been penalties.
There's the old saying, they always miss the first guy and get the second guy.
Well, when
the moral of the story is don't be the second guy.
In those special teams play, those guys, they're going to pin you down. I mean, that's not, to me, unusual, is it? To see them now, maybe it last a little longer than it should have. If you want to throw a flag for that, fine, but they deemed that was not a problem.
Tirico also said, I think to McCauley after the game, now I can't remember, that fans are rightfully confused as to challenges versus
replay assist.
Like, do you have to? Why ever challenge a play if it's going to be fixed by replay assist? How do you know when to challenge, right?
Well, and that's the Steelers were lucky in that case because they had no timeouts and it was before the 2-minute warning. So they couldn't use a challenge. if there was no replay assist. But
right.
Replay assist is supposed to help you out in those situations. You shouldn't have to challenge a play like that because it was clearly a missed call.
How about all the scuffles at end of plays as well?
Yeah.
They didn't seem like the refs ever had that under control. There were three or four, especially in the second half.
What are they supposed to do, Limits? The guys are going to scuffle. They scuffle.
I don't know. Say something over the, this is a warning to the players. Get back to your benches or something. They've done that before.
Bob? I didn't think, I mean, there's a couple of post-play scuffles. Limits has gone nuts
kind of like the umpire saying, all right, everybody, benches are about to clear. You're tossed if another instance happens again.
Yeah, but I don't think in that game with the emotions, I don't think it was just chippy more than anything else. I didn't see anything beyond that.
I thought it was more chippy than any other game this year, for sure.
I'm not a flag person. I don't want to see more. I want to see fewer flags. I just do. I'm tired of watching every play flagged. And sometimes it happens late. They get together on replay assist, and all of a sudden the guy throw a flag in the middle of a huddle that he didn't call during the actual play. So.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think we just got to hunt it more. I think there's opportunities there. I think we just got to be more. I think when we have a more level of comfort and we had a sense of urgency pre-snap, I think post-snap will be better. I think that will lead to turnovers. I think guys in the right spot, guys flying to the ball, doing the things that we do at a high level, get back to doing that, and I think we'll get the ball.
That's Patrick Queen. He also says, rest assured, we're going to take care of this tight end problem we've been having really quickly. Somehow, Bob, I'm not inspired to believe him. Are you with Tyler Warren coming up next? What's he going to do to them?
That's what I mean. You're facing guys probably going to be right there for rookie of the year, and he's been dynamic in how they utilize him and where he gets open. But we've seen this problem with the tight end over and over and over. Hunter Henry has had, like, some of his best days. He could make a career out of his games against the Steelers here and there. And then you look at Mark Andrews. You look at Kelsey. You look at any tight end that's come in here. Trey McBride for Arizona had the same kind of success when he came here. So that's a matchup that they haven't been able to figure out yet, and they better do it this week because otherwise you got Jonathan Taylor, one of the best in the business. You got a quarterback who's hot and a play caller who knows exactly how to attack.
And has rolled up, I don't know the exact numbers, Bob, but approximately 70 points and 1,000 yards or 800 yards in the last two games against the Steelers with mustachioed Gardner Minshew at quarterback and Joe Flacco. And don't forget Anthony Richardson at the beginning of that Colts game last year.
Yeah, he was doing
okay. Accounted for 74 yards.
Right.
Yeah,
that's going to be one of the first things that you have to talk about when you're talking about defending that team is how do you stop Jonathan Taylor and then Tyler Warren.
All right, let's go to Ray Fittipaldo's report card, Bob. This week I thought that he was very fair, very tough. He's a very tough grader, isn't he, Ray?
Yes, and he should be. I mean, that's kind of what it is. You know, there's no curves now. This is a team that has whatever expectations they have, no curving allowed when you're grading.
All right. Aaron Rodgers gets a B-. Ray said 219, two touchdowns, no picks. But he said the game was ultimately decided by missed opportunities in the red zone. The Steelers had to settle for four field goals. That, to me, is a little bit deceiving. It's not like they were down on the five-yard line. Boswell was nailing right. Essentially 60-yarders left and right. So I think they were salvaging points off drives. They weren't necessarily getting to the shadow of the goal line and screwing it up. They were screwing it up further downfield, Bob. He gets a B-. What do you give Rodgers?
Hard to do anything above that for sure, but I probably would just go C. Although I think, again, he was not their problem. I'm not going to look at that and say he's the problem with what they had. They had so many down and distances because of penalty, false starts, all these other things that contribute to this. But I'd say C, just because I expect maybe more plays down the field, and I haven't seen a lot of that. It's not his problem necessarily, but C.
I'm going to give him a B, believe it or not. I thought that the glaring lack of weaponry showed last night, and I think it shows most when they're behind by double digits, which has only happened twice, and it showed in the Seattle game too, and when they are in down and distance, when they're third 10, third 15, he's got to have somebody else he can get to, and they have to have more explosion in their pass game, but I don't think that's on him.
It isn't, but they were 1-for-10 on third downs. And the only one was that big long pass to Roman Wilson early in the game, and that was it. That's the only third down conversion they had yesterday. But to your point, they had third and 15, third and 13, third and 14, third and 20.
Yeah, those were give-up calls by Artie then. There was at least two or three give-up calls, punt.
Yeah, just put in the hands of a tight end.
I don't know, should third and 15 be a give-up call, Bob?
No, but if you don't have the weapons to get downfield, then you do have a but it also takes time, and they were getting to him more as the game went on.
I thought in the first half he was doing a great job of manipulating things at the line of scrimmage.
He was
changing out of plays. That drive at the end of the half was a thing of beauty. But you're right.
When he gets into the red zone, we're not talking about on the perimeter of it, or I'm talking about inside the 10-yard line. He's been really good this year.
Yeah, they had a long touchdown drive at the end of that half, and he mastered it. But you're right. They didn't convert enough third downs. I'll give them a B-. Limits?
Yeah, I actually was with you, Joe, with a B, and I'm going to stick with it, partly because I didn't really like how Arthur Smith called the game. The protection collapsed in on Rodgers a little bit more in the second half. Micah Parsons was really starting to get home. This was not his problem. He was not entirely responsible for this. I also think the receivers are not getting open well enough down the field.
No, especially when the other team rushes four and beats you 4-on-5, and the secondary is flooded with seven defenders covering people. And when only one of those guys is really a polished NFL receiver in DK Metcalf, then you got problems. And by the way, how do you think little Jonnu Smith is feeling right now, Bob? He's on pace for 30 fewer catches and 500 fewer yards than he had in Miami.
No, so they're not using him in the right way, or he's showing his age too, maybe. Who knows? I mean, they got a lot of older guys on this team, veterans who've been around. I don't know if he's open. I don't know if they're
He's basically a gadget guy for them.
Right.
More or less.
His touchdown was one of those end-around plays. He had one of them where they just hand him the ball.
Yeah. Running backs. Ray gives them a B. They had 81 yards rushing in the first half, but only finished with 93. We haven't seen Caleb Johnson. Kenny Gainwell had a fumble. I thought he looked good getting to the outside, showing his speed on some runs. I'll give them a B-, too, Bob. You?
I would give them and this is not so much on them, so I'm going to give them a B because I thought they were running with purpose in the first half. They abandoned that in the second half in their first drive of the third quarter. After Green Bay knew they were going to have to try to stop that run, the Steelers went all pass. They passed 11 of 12 plays. In those situations when they were still in front. So that's more of a coaching decision than his utilization, although I would like to know where Caleb Johnson is. You know, Austin, he's not – no snaps. At some point, he's got to get a little bit of play, doesn't he?
Wait, so you're telling me, Bob, that they're allowed to run the football in the second half?
That's what I'm telling you.
Did anybody tell Mike Tomlin that they could do that?
Why do you think it went from 80, whatever it was, to 90 only? Because they – and they were in the lead.
Well, that's the crazy thing.
They were in the lead, 16-7.
LaFleur said – he said at the beginning of the second half, we know they're going to try to come out and run the ball. Well, the first play is a play action that didn't work. They should have come out and run the ball. They should.
Especially with the lead.
If they're in that jumbo package and nobody's stopping them, then just keep doing it.
Exactly.
Do you disagree?
Especially with the lead.
I wonder if they were spooked after Sam Alo went out and they had to put Calvin Anderson in, or Spencer Anderson in at guard, that they basically just decided to abandon it because they couldn't use the jumbo tackle anymore.
Well, that's a good
point. Next man up.
Yeah, don't they have another tackle they could lose?
Calvin Anderson. I get Anderson's confused.
Do both
sometimes.
Of you realize that if the Steelers lose to Indy, it'll be seven straight years with a losing streak of at least three games? That's unbelievable, Bob.
Yeah, you don't expect that. Three games is a long time in the NFL to lose that many games.
I think the worst one has to be the combination of when they lost to the Cardinals, the Patriots on that Thursday night, and I think Mac Jones or Bailey Zappi.
In both cases, the tight ends were huge. There was a hat trick of Hunter Henry, and then Trey McBride. He all of a sudden showed up as a weapon in the pass game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Receivers, Ray gives them an F, Bob. That report card's not going up on the fridge, is it? DK Metcalf, night to forget, dropped a pass in the end zone, Ray writes. In the first quarter, they had to settle for a field. I don't know if he dropped
that. I don't
know.
That guy made a nice defensive play.
To me, that's a nice defensive play.
It is. You have
that's Ray being too tough of a grader, Bob. Do you agree?
Yes. There, I would say if you're going to use – I could give him the grade he gave him, but I'm not going to use that play as a reason.
He did turn a 3rd-and-2 into a 3rd-and-17. Roman Wilson had a decent game. But Ray says this shoddy performance will only fuel speculation about the Steelers acquiring some help at the November 4th trade deadline. He gives the receivers an F. What say you?
D-. I'm gonna save the F.
We thought it was that bad? I didn't think the actual receivers were that bad unless I'm forgetting something.
All I do is look at production. That's all I'm looking at. I didn't see much
of it. Well, Wilson had a good game. Austin drew an interference call, made a few good plays, and Metcalf caught a touchdown.
Did you notice their receivers by and large most in the game?
Well, you have to throw to him when he threw to them. I didn't think it was an F performance. It wasn't great, but it wasn't an F, I don't think. Limits, what do you think?
No, I think more like C-, D+. Roman Wilson made a couple of plays. I think the touchdown grab that was controversial, you know, obviously being one of them. I want to see them use Metcalf more in terms of a bulk role. But yeah, just C-, D+. I didn't think they were awful.
Well, you said earlier a lot of them aren't getting open, and that's part of their responsibility to get open also. So that's it's scheme and route running.
Yeah, that's why they partly get a D in my book.
They get a C- for me. Offensive line, Ray gives them a C. How does he give the receivers an F? And the line a C, Bob. He says the run blocking was very good again. I would say, for a half. They didn't
again,
run at all in the second half.
They went away from it in the second. It wasn't that they weren't doing it
well. They were
well.
Also getting beat on the pass rush 4-on-5 at key moments right. in the game. There were some key penalties in the game. Bob, he gives them an average grade, a C.
I'm sticking a D on that one.
I'm going F.
Ooh.
They get a D minus in my book.
But again, though, they did their job in the first half, by and large.
Everybody did
the
on both sides
half,
of the ball.
It was more so much they didn't even try to run it as they should have, and I don't know how you can blame them for that. You know, that's a coaching decision. So
defensive line. Ray gives them a C, says the run defense was better and put the Steelers in good positions.
Not
in
the second
half
it was.
But it's not like the Packers were focused on trying to run. The interior pass rush, he said, was non-existent. So how do they get a C, Bob? I'm going to text
again,
Ray on this. He's being very inconsistent.
I would do a D
here.
On that just to be consistent with this.
I'd do an F. Limits?
D.
Linebackers, he gives an F to the linebackers for obvious reasons. It was a disaster, and I give them an F too. Highsmith
yes,
and Watt,
they have
invisible.
To show up. It's
invisible!
You have to, on a game like that, knowing what it meant, knowing that the spotlight is on you,
here,
that's where you make your money.
You just reminded me of something. Do you like my Saints hat, Bob? You didn't compliment
did.
It yet
well,
today.
I did when you came in and you weren't listening. You were singing a song again, which is now in my brain. I went to the bathroom and I was singing in the bathroom. I didn't know someone was in there, and I felt like I had to apologize.
I felt like I would wear the hat of the only NFL franchise with a worse defense at the moment than the Steelers. That's why I pulled out the Saints hat.
But you would be wrong.
I know. It's the Bengals and Cowboys.
Bengals and Cowboys.
Here's the really frightening thing. The Steelers had a humiliating performance on a Thursday night in Cincinnati. Really, really embarrassing that the whole country watched. So you figured with all this time to prepare for this game on a Sunday night at home that they would rise to the occasion maybe. And in the first half, they kind of did. But who cares? The game overall, they gave up 28 second half points, and that is really disturbing. You know, you can make excuses here and there based on the schedule, and you catch somebody at a bad time on a bad week. They had all the time in the world to rebound from a terrible performance, and they were worse against the Packers.
See, that's the thing that really is disappointing out of that, is that they were so bad in that Cincinnati game, and you could fluff it off and say, oh, it's Thursday, this, that, and the other thing. You expected a better, even if they lost, you would have expected better pass
yes.
coverage
yes.
and better pass numbers. Instead, they did get worse to the point of 20 straight completions. And the first three drives of that third quarter into the fourth turned out to be touchdowns for Jordan Love. I mean, there's no stopping him. Looking at all these plays as I go through my list here.
It was a disorganized
mess. Third and
four,
24-yard touchdown pass, third and six, 17 yards. You go on and on.
It was
about
a disorganized, disheveled
they
mess.
They had a lot of third and longs, too, at least third beyond five, and they converted them.
It was like Harry Callis getting ready for a night on the town limits, wasn't it? Just disorganized, disheveled, not knowing what's coming next, right?
I can't say I've ever experienced that with Harry, but I can picture it in my mind.
And I love Harry.
I do, too.
The gray, the secondary gets an F. Do we even need to go into that?
No.
I mean, it's an F minus. As Ray writes, Omar Khan might be able to sign free agents off the street who can cover better than the defensive backs currently on the roster. 702 passing yards the last two games.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
You don't expect that for a team that's supposed to have all this historical value.
Special teams gets a B minus. Boswell, great night. Punt return by Keshawn Williams was good, but Herbig had the costly personal foul that Limits forgave him for. What did you think of Limits forgiving him for that, Bob?
I think we could have talked him out of that, actually.
Did we talk you out of that?
No.
No.
All right. The 15-yard penalty set the Packers up inside Steelers territory, and they scored a few plays later for a 29-10-point lead. Boswell is unbelievable. Can you imagine where they'd be without him? I can, because the only 2 years he was bad in the NFL, the Steelers missed the playoffs. He hit a 60-yarder to beat the Jets. I thought against the Bengals, they should have thrown a quick out near midfield, and instead of trying to Hail Mary, they should have gone for a 67 or 70-yard field goal, and I think he might have made it. I've been watching football for a long time. I don't think I've ever seen a guy this automatic from beyond 50. Listen to this number, Bob, and Limit. So you guys sitting up
it's
straight?
It's astounding.
and listening? Are you limits?
I am.
In his last, since 2020, okay, since the beginning of 2020, he's 41 of 48 from 50 or beyond. Okay, that's 85.1%.
Incredible.
Do you have that?
From 50 yards
okay.
and beyond.
Now consider that through the first half of this season, half of the league is below that number on all field goals, not 50 and beyond. They're below 80. Half the teams in the league are below 85% on field goals from every range.
Really?
Yes. He's above 85% over the last 4 years, 5 years really, on field goals 50 and beyond. He's better from 50 and beyond than the majority of the league is on all field goals. That's the best way to say it. I've never seen anything like it. This dude, if kickers start getting into the Hall of Fame regularly, he might be the greatest kicker I've ever seen.
I totally agree, and it's his ice cold approach to this. He doesn't let anything get to him. He's very focused. His only two misses, you mentioned 50. He would have been perfect this year,
right?
If not for a block, and if not for
and a
slip on the field. Yeah, that's it. He would have made that too. So he would have been perfect from 50. And if you want to go even further, break it down to 55 yards or more, you'll see the same kind of numbers. I mean, very accurate.
Bob. Pay the man.
Well, that'll be this year's offseason. And then they have to worry about others, too.
Yeah, but that's before Cam comes back for more money. All right. Let's go to coaching. I just can't believe Boswell. I can't believe it. Where would they be without him?
Yeah, that's the thing. Again, though, what happens is you get spoiled into having him out there so that on fourth and whatever, you're never going to try. Sometimes you just got to keep going. Don't you think people are spoiled with him?
I agree. They are spoiled. We are all spoiled because of Chris Boswell.
Brian Kelly is the most obnoxious. I was watching that game the other night. He's so unbelievably negative and obnoxious during the games, Bob. And I have taken great pleasure in his abject failure at LSU and the fact that he's done. I'm done.
Well, he's going to reemerge somewhere. And he is
Penn State.
Don't even think about it.
Penn State?
He's annoying.
Maybe he can fake a Central PA accent.
Do
you think they should at least talk to him?
No. They can if they want, but it should be anything more than a five-minute conversation.
Why would he be such a bad choice? He does win.
Why would he be such a great choice?
I didn't say he would be. Did I, Limits?
No, but that's not insinuating that it would be a good choice, considering we're going to the bad right away.
It would be a better choice than Matt Rhule, I'll tell you that much.
I do agree with that, but I think both are lose-lose situations.
Who would you hire?
That is a great question.
Your insiders were telling you Kurt Cignetti.
Thank you for bringing that up. I mean, at this point, Joe Brady or maybe a first-year head coach? I mean,
no,
I don't know.
If you're going to go for anyone, to me, I'd go for the Brom at Louisville. He's been terrific, and he's getting that Louisville team to play, I think, above what the
I'd go for Matt Canada.
Franklin will emerge at some point. The question is, those teams down there in that SEC, down in that area, they're going to want immediate relief. He's going to find the same problem going there if he should ever go there.
Remember when Brian Kelly went to LSU and faked a Southern accent?
He changed his accent around. He got a huge hero's welcome. They all do. And then it wears off.
Do you remember the recruiting video that he did with that one guy where they had the camera going 360 around them and he's doing all these hand signals?
Yeah. $54 million buyout. Bob, let's nail this thing. Let's bring up the Brian Kelly audio that we like to play, and let's try to get this word for word. How does it go, Limits? Give us a head start.
So he goes, and we're sitting here again talking about the same thing.
So
can you get it this
and
time?
We're
the second again.
And we're sitting here again.
Yes.
We're sitting here again talking about the same things. When does the hand slap? It's the hand right before
he says talking.
Do you do it, Bob? Just do a practice run and I'll copy
it. We're sitting here again.
No, it's and.
What?
It's and we're sitting here again.
And we're sitting here again and again talking about the same things.
Is he have that right?
No. It's and we're sitting here
again.
Brief pause. We're sitting here again.
We're sitting here
again. The hand slap comes on again. That's what I thought.
Talking about the same things.
Let's go.
Okay, I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
And we're sitting here again.
And we're sitting here again.
Talking about the same things. That was pretty good, Bob.
Good job, Bob.
That wasn't bad.
I'm surprised there wasn't profanity in there. He was getting himself worked up. Normally that comes with a...
He was F-bombing everyone in sight. His poor special teams coach, I thought, was going to be executed by the end of the game.
Texas A&M, he just made... That team is good, and he made them look terrible. So
he, one of his first moves at LSU was firing his strength coach. The strength coach went to Texas A&M, and they bullied them physically.
That has something to do with this, I bet, too. So this whole thing about firing coaches middle of the season is a new dynamic.
Yeah,
we haven't seen it as much, and now all of a sudden it's happening everywhere.
Reminds me of what Todd said once ago.
No, because they're too busy asking for more money, Todd. Bob, I'm starting to come around. Maybe George Pickens was the answer.
I don't know. He's all I know is he would have given them what they've been looking for.
He would have quit
time.
In spring training.
Oh, that's what you assume. He hasn't quit on Dallas, has he?
No, because they didn't give his money and his title to one guy.
Yes, they did. CeeDee Lamb just
he was
got
there
a record,
before he got
but he
there.
Still had the money, that
but he thought he was the guy here for the future. Was already acting.
I'm just
up.
Saying they need a second receiver. I would have gone to him if I had to bring in a shrink or somebody to deal with him and say, look. Watch this. See this? You got a carrot at the end of this. There's lots of money. You get Blaine right. You understand that language. Play well. Don't be a pain in the butt, and you'll get your money. And I think he's just doing what his agent and others have told him to do.
Bob, they say eating a carrot a day sort of recycles your digestive system. Do you believe that? And do you
eat
carrots?
I thought
it
was good for your eyes.
Might be that, too.
I haven't eaten a carrot in a while, unless they're cooked. I like raw carrots, so I haven't done that. I should do that.
Yeah.
And try to replace the chips at night, which take over.
Yeah, you like salty, crunchy treats in the middle of the night. That is not a good habit.
No, it's not.
And I want you to break that habit. Replace it with carrots.
Okay, I'll do that. I feel like the guy on The Sopranos eating carrot after carrot after carrot after carrot. Remember him?
Yeah.
He eventually got killed like they all did.
like the LSU special teams coach.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.